Tight ends left and right. Brunell with two receivers. First and 10 at the 30 of the Bills. There's the snap, the handoff. Natron wants to cut it up, waits patiently, breaks a tackle. He's at the 30. Natron, 25, 20. He's gone. He's at the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Holy smokes, talk about putting it in your face. My goodness.
Archuleta coming again. Byron turns and dumps the ball. He's caught on the run. There goes Maurice Drew. He's got a first down, and Maurice at the 20. He's at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Maurice Drew. Touchdown, Jaguars. 49 yards.
He said he was going to have a dance the next time he scored.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, glad you're with us on this Friday morning. Friday's brought to you by Claude Nolan Cadillac on Jaguars Today here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. Look who the cat drug in, Tony. Lauren Brooks blew off her Tampa assignment.
Oh, yeah?
And she's with us today. Brooks, have you tweeted out the picture of you with the Panama hat yet?
I have not yet. I've been a little busy getting ready for the show, but I will do that.
Oh, you're going to blame work now on keeping you away from Twitter. I don't believe it. I'm not buying that for a second.
Okay, well, really the problem is I can't get anyone to take my picture.
Take a selfie. It's
I don't like those. Those look terrible.
Go to the copier and take a selfie. Okay?
Selfie, duck face,
hash brown
all
the way.
Gosh.
Yes, do the duck face.
That is not happening in a million years.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And, you know, and it's in a series of them like you're in a photo booth.
That's right.
Okay.
That would be fantastic. All you need then is a bathroom mirror so that we can see the phone.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, well, we'll enjoy talking with Lauren.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here today. Thank you.
Yes. she had a blowout. You're okay, right?
I am okay. Yes, thank you.
As far as we know, you're okay. She had a blowout using her friend's car. Hey, friend.
Oh, my.
Take that thing in for regular maintenance, all right? She blows out the tire on the car. Tony finds out when she takes the car in, all the tires have dry rot. That's
Jeez.
Not good when you're going to go on a highway trip down to Tampa.
Well,
yes,
if you're
going to
do
so
it to yourself, that's one thing.
Right. Hey, would you drive my car down to Tampa? Why can't I do it? Oh, I have something suddenly came.
I have a feeling the whole thing's going to explode. All four tires.
So let me know if you make it, and if you do, come back and get me.
No, that's not at all what happened. She was very sweet to let me use her BMW convertible. The only problem was the tires.
Okay.
So,
those are pretty important.
You're going to be
slightly.
Cruising with the aviators and a Panama hat on with top down.
And the whole A to B thing in a car, the tires are a pretty vital part of that.
That's pretty key. You got the engine.
Yeah, but who doesn't like sitting on the side of 95 South with a car that you can't turn back on? Who doesn't like that?
Well, good thing it hasn't been hot lately.
Right.
So at least there's that.
But you know what? I kept saying the breeze of the semis is keeping me cool.
I would say today, Tony, we're about 2 degrees cooler maybe than yesterday.
I don't think
it's quite as bad as yesterday.
More comfortable. There's a breeze I can feel.
We're going to complain regardless. It's going to be a steamy one, but no full contact, no full pads for
no.
the Jags today. It wasn't, man. They've been pretty fortunate on the injury front. Most of the stuff they've had up till now has been nagging kind of stuff. Then Clay Harbor hurts his calf on Monday night,
yep.
And he's going to be out for a month, and he's going to be, you know, a cog in that offense that would be on the field this year. Tan and Doss, though, they cut practice short about four plays. Gus said they had about four more plays scripted to run, but basically the end of practice. And what happened? It was Sip rolled up on the back of his leg.
No, it was Geno Hayes.
Geno Hayes. That's right. Geno Hayes rolled up on the back of his leg yesterday. I told you, I need, instant replay on everything. It'll happen right in front of me, and I couldn't tell. I'm like, I saw them go down in a pile, and Tanner Doss started, I wouldn't say scream. He wasn't screeching, but it was, You know, it was like.
He was yelling.
He was yelling pretty good. He was on the ground in some obvious pain. I would have bet good money at the time that there was a torn ligament or a broken leg involved.
Sure. I mean, someone sitting down there when all that happened said broken ankle. I don't know if it was Doss. I assume it was.
They probably felt like it was a broken ankle.
Because I've heard people that were close to it that said that he said he heard it pop. Doss said he heard it pop. And so I think he was assuming the worst, that the ankle was broken. He was certainly writhing around in a lot of pain. And it leaves the Jags, as we were just talking about with Hicken. Look, they're thin at that position. They already were. And I tweeted out about this yesterday, and I got some people not so happy with me for what I said. I'm not saying that Ace Sanders was going to be some big part of the offense. I don't think that was the plan for him this year. But with Shorts down, Shorts got hurt. Doss got hurt. These guys are getting hurt on the field. A bad decision by Ace Sanders has cost this team his services for a month. And now what are they doing at punt returner? What are they doing at slot receiver for this first month? We don't know. It's all up in the air, and it's different when these guys come out here, they're playing, they're practicing, and they get hurt, and a guy makes a bad decision away from the field and costs you his service for a month. It's a completely different situation, and I'm very, like, as the days go on, I get more and more disappointed in Ace Sanders. I'm glad he's getting whatever help he needs, but this team right now needs Ace. He would help them right now, and he's not here.
Well, there's no question. He would. I don't know who would get upset with that particular opinion, but regardless, I think you heard Gus say after practice yesterday, well, they're going to look to Will Blackman and Marquise Lee probably in the...
It's the options they have,
right.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of guys that have done it, whether collegiately or in the pros, in the
Blackman's
case of Blackman,
been pretty good at it
right,
at different points.
But it's been a little bit of time
it
since
has.
He's done it. But, you know, that becomes the interesting part. How long is this injury going to linger for Tannen Dawes? I mean, honestly, the pain he was in, if he's back within 2 weeks, I'll be shocked. But again, I'm not a doctor, obviously,
yeah.
That, you know, but I would be surprised if it was not something that lingered a little bit longer than that, just based on the looks of it yesterday.
Sure.
So you've got two positions. One, with Ace Sanders, not going to eat up a roster spot because he's suspended.
No.
It's not going to count against your 53-man roster. But if this, with Tannen Dawes, were to linger into the season, and that's still a long way off, but if it were, then you start playing the numbers game. The good thing is, if you go with Blackman or Lee, you're not bringing in a specialist just to return punts. You're kind of doubling up at one of the positions. But
yep.
You've already got Marquise Lee now with Allen Robinson sideline, with Cecil Short sideline. He's your number one wide receiver right now by default. How much do you want to put on a rookie to come in here, carry a large chunk of the passing offense? Is he going to do punt returns as well? You know, is that going to be too much for him? Maybe not. But, you know, he's certainly done it at the collegiate level, like I said. But, you know, this is starting to pile up. And then Linder, you know, you got this three-way battle where you get the sense that they're trying to really push Mike Brewster at center, and that Linder is the guy we think is going to end up at right guard.
Yeah.
Now, he's got a sprained foot, all kinds of varying degrees of severity with that. But we've seen foot injuries, Tony. I mean, you know.
Foot injuries, calf injuries, hamstring injuries, these kind of things are the things that linger.
They can keep you out for quite a while.
Yeah, and those are the kind of issues they're dealing with right now on the offensive side of the ball. Mike, we just spent an entire offseason with everything that the Jags did. Since the draft ended, we've talked about we feel like this team's going to be pretty good on defense, definitely better than they have been on defense, especially on the defensive line. But what's it going to look like on offense? They don't even know in practice what it's going to look like on offense. They can't get them on the field together at this point, and they're trying to get ready for a regular season. It's just, it's got to be so frustrating for these guys at this point to not be able to see whatever it is that they're going to have on the field, hopefully available to them when we get to Philadelphia.
I think I would change my vote yesterday. We're talking about which is the greatest position of concern for this football team, and I would have said, you know, right side of the offensive line, if you wanted to pin it down, call it center, then right guard.
Sure.
Right now, you know, as long as you can roll out there with Brewster, McClendon, and nobody else gets hurt on day one, assuming Linder is back quickly, and maybe he'll be back in a week. I mean, it could be.
Yeah, we don't know.
Just very precautionary. We're not trying to make these out to be any worse than they are.
No.
But, again, you had seven guys at one point in the wide receiver group missing from OTAs, and now you're down four guys for a variety of reasons here, and we haven't even played the first. Never mind the first preseason game. The scrimmage is tomorrow night.
Yeah, we're a week into camp.
Right. So, look, I get it. It does happen around the National Football League. You just hate it because it does certain teams, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just, you know, coincidental chance. Certain position groups every year on certain teams seem to just get decimated. It's just bad luck, and you hope that we're not beginning a year-long kind of trend in that situation. Again, all these guys may be fine in 3 weeks, and this is a moot point. But we've seen it now. Allen Robinson get hurt in the offseason, come back, take a bunch of time off, because he was out most of OTAs,
yeah,
and then had all that break as well, and come back and aggravate it. So even if he gets healthy in 3 or 4 weeks or quicker, will he remain that way going into the season, or is this going to be an issue for him, dogging him his rookie
year?
Well, I know
he's not practicing today. He didn't even come out with the helmet. He's hanging out with Cecil. Maybe he'll catch some balls off a jugs machine or something today. That would be the extent of the work.
That would actually be good. I'd like to, if he can move around enough that they would let him do that, that would be an encouraging sign.
Yeah.
By the way, did you assume, was that Jerome Jr., I think, with the interesting haircut?
Oh, Jerome Jr. is the best hair on the team.
Coming out? Yeah. Has that been his hair of choice?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen the hair without the helmet.
Yeah.
So that's his hair. That's not...
That's JJ's hair.
That's not, I didn't perform a skit at the rookie banquet.
No, that was... Hair. That's how Jerome
he
carries
chooses
himself.
To have that kind of... How would you describe that, Tony? A half, it's high top fade afro, there's nothing on the side.
It's like a giant...
it's kind of like a mushroom, maybe on his head, sort of. It kind of mushrooms like out a little bit.
Yeah, it's like the top, the middle part. If you had three lanes on your head, the middle lane would be a fro,
right?
And the rest of it is shaved down.
Okay,
that's essentially what he's got going on.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
It apparently for me defies description. How about that? You see the kicker in Washington, by the way, the backup kicker?
Yeah, they got him.
How dumb is it? You can't think of anything to do. And so they're like,
why are
all
you
right.
picking on a backup kicker?
The backup kicker, there's no way that guy makes a team, right? He's the traditional camp leg.
He's got a story to tell the rest of his life.
And Kai Forbath, the kicker, gets to cut his hair. He's like, this is the greatest moment of my life, man. I'm now a member of the team. And he gave him a sideways mohawk. He had this stripe of hair going from right to left or left to right, however you want to. Or you could
That's
look at that
terrible.
As, you know, like tire spikes on your three-lane highway of your head that he had thrown down.
Yeah.
It was not a good look for him, nevertheless. Didn't realize Jerome Jr. had chosen that.
Oh, that's his hair. Yeah, that's what
he
does.
We're going to have to talk to Jerome Jr. one of these days here on Jaguars Today. Coming up, we'll hear from Blake Bortles and Gus Bradley post-practice yesterday for Blake and Gus. Some highlights from the Gus Bradley Coaches Show, which airs Thursday nights here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Don't forget, we've got the scrimmage broadcast coming up for you tomorrow as well. So whether you're making it out or not making it out, if you're making it out, you can bring your little portable whatever device you're listening
to. Your phone.
To yeah, you can do it on your
Stream
phone.
Stream it on the app.
Absolutely. And check things out. You don't... Tony, somebody get busted that I'm not aware of? I hate to even
guess. Is that the ambulance?
Oh, gosh. I hope not. What song are we playing here, Lauren?
Shake Your Tail Feather.
Oh, Shake Your Tail Feather, Tony. Tailgate.
There you go.
Got it. Songs with tail in it.
And now the rest of the day is going to be whatever I feel like.
Oh, really? Is that because how many more tail songs did you have?
None, as a matter of fact. Well,
you could have gone with Fat Bottom Girls.
Probably. I still can.
That's kind of a synonym.
Yeah, I still can. I can do whatever I want, whatever I would play at my own tailgate.
You could. That's right. This is Lauren's tailgate mixtape today.
Sure.
What's a mixtape?
There were a lot of mixtapes in the Guardians of the Galaxy last night.
You get the concept. By the way, all this hype about Guardians of the Galaxy sounds so good. I was looking so forward to seeing it, and then you tell me there's a cameo from Howard the Duck.
Well, it's the post-credit scene. Just
any movie that wants to be associated with Howard the Duck. Is not a movie that I'm sure I have any interest in seeing.
Look, Howard the Duck was not a terrible comic. It was a terrible, terrible, awful, bad, just downright disgusting movie. This is what it was.
Let's say hello to Jessica Blaylock, shall we?
What's
hello,
up,
Jessica
boys?
Blaylock.
How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
I am good.
Get juicy hot. Hot.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've got some injury updates. Probably one of the most important being Allen Robinson. He is going to be out for, quote, an extended period of time.
Oh, my goodness.
I can also tell you that Brandon Linder with that foot injury is going to be day-to-day, and Marquise Lee has the day off today. That is a coach's decision.
Yeah, like, we're going to give him the next month off.
Yeah.
He's got August
we
off.
We can't
please.
Take any more hits
in the
receiving
corps. How much bubble wrap
core.
Is in the building?
But out of all these pieces of injury information, the most disconcerting, obviously, is Allen Robinson going to be out for an extended period of time.
Extended period sucks. Okay,
yeah.
That just is awful. Any more word on Tannen Doss? What do we?
He also falls under that extended period of time.
Not a surprise.
Right.
We saw what the pain he was in yesterday.
Which to me is shocking that it ended up only being an ankle sprain. Because I mean, Dempsey, we were standing right there,
20 feet away.
The way Tannen Doss responded to going down reminded me of when I was in high school and I suffered a second degree high ankle sprain. It just seemed like he was in that type of pain, and that's an injury that takes, I mean, minimum 4 to 6 weeks to come back from. So I don't know the severity of the sprain. I don't know if it is a second degree high ankle sprain.
We don't even know if it's a high ankle sprain.
Right. So, I mean, you know, all we know is that it is an ankle sprain, and Tannen Doss is going to be out, similar to Allen Robinson, for an extended period of time. But if I have any other information, I will immediately bring it over to you guys.
Jessica Blaylock is an intrepid reporter, ladies and gentlemen, and she is on the beat right now. This is fantastic. I love this.
Thank you so much.
This is why Jaguars Today broadcasts live from the practice field. So we can get Jessica. We just want an excuse for Jessica to stop by and visit with us. Helmets and heels.
Or maybe I just made up all of this information and wanted to sit in the shade for a few minutes.
Sweet.
Either way.
Here for you. We did decide, though, it's 2 to 3 degrees cooler today. There is a slightest little bit of breeze today as opposed to yesterday.
You know, it's funny because it's really not that bad out here if you can get the breeze and the cloud cover. It's when all of that disappears.
Sure, when the clouds are out and the wind is blowing and it's about 20 degrees cooler, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's great.
Out here.
Sure, let's do practice outside every day.
All right, Jessica Blaylock reporting that the word is Allen Robinson out, an extended period of time. Not good news. Tony, you tweeting that up? I'm guessing.
No, it's all over the place.
I'm guessing that's been tweeted.
Can you hashtag that? Not only
hash brown it.
Can you hash brown that? Jaguars Today, hash brown Blaylock rules. Okay, thank
that.
You.
I think I'll just send out a tweet says Blaylock rules.
I'm fine with that as well.
Hash brown Jaguars Today.
I was waiting to see if we were going to get three horns if they were just done.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
Exactly. Go take a selfie with the copier now, and we'll see you in a little bit.
All right, see you guys.
Thank you, Jessica Blaylock, reporting the breaking scoop, Tony, as it's being passed along to the media on the sidelines. See, at least we have the advantage. If I were to choose to tweet, I've got the laptop, and I've got some shade so I can see the screen,
right,
which is nice. It took my ham hand itself all of, I don't know, 7 minutes to tweet Tannen Doss down in pain on the side. it was like one sentence. I don't even think I used punctuation. And I took me a good 7 minutes to get that done.
Boy, that's bad news for this football team. We've talked about Cecil Shorts and the soft tissue injuries that he's had to deal with in the past. And it's stuff like this. It's stuff like Allen Robinson is dealing with right now with that hamstring, the setback. They're saying he's going to be out for an extended period of time now. He's not going to be on the field. He wasn't here with them really during the offseason, couldn't get on the field a whole lot because of his hamstring injury. Now it sounds like he's going to be out probably most of training camp, if not all of training camp, as a rookie that they were relying on in this offense. And they don't really know when they're going to get Cecil back. It could be next week. It could be 2 or 3 weeks from now.
It was at least a couple of weeks.
So, I mean, the passing game, which we were all concerned about anyway because of how much they were going to have to rely on a bunch of young guys, I mean, really, what does it look like right now for this football team? It makes you understand more and more why Blake Bortles doesn't need to be out there right away, because it doesn't appear there's going to be a whole lot of help for him early.
No, Chad Henne's probably like, what the hell, man?
Yeah,
come
I know.
On, Blake, pick up your play.
It's my chance. It's my chance, man.
No, you're right. I mean, a few minutes ago, they ended one of the periods with the two-horn blast. You get the three-horn blast at the end of practice. We'll be listening for that for the next couple hours. Will it come that significantly early? It's just, you know, it's again, you know, if these were spread out a little bit more, you could withstand that a little bit better. But now, you know, your projected depth chart, I don't know, a week ago, a little more than a week ago, three of your top four guys are sidelined right now at wide
they
receiver.
Are. So. And you're not expecting Cecil to be out once we get into the regular season. But we've dealt so much with Cecil and these kind of little injuries that just linger for him, and he can't get completely healthy and can't get himself on the field for 16 games. So you have to assume almost that at some point in this season they're going to be without Cecil Shorts. I mean, that's just what the history tells us. At some point they're going to be without him. And if Allen Robinson is dealing with hamstring issues, now he has been for 2 months almost. And if that's going to continue for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, when they're getting into the regular season, how effective can he be? early on in the season, how slowly do you need to take it with a guy like Allen Robinson, who looked like he could be a playmaker early for this football team? It's just, it's frustrating right now to see all the injuries they're having. And again, we're not saying Cecil's out for the opener or anything like that. We don't even know that Allen Robinson is. But we don't know what the offense is going to be, and they're really not getting any opportunity to see that on the field and get these guys out there together. And on offense, it is about chemistry. Defense is about disruption. Offense is about chemistry, and right now they're not able to build any of that.
Now, we're going to hear some quotes here quickly from Gus Bradley talking about some of these guys. I think we can skip the Allen Robinson quote because we've got the update now.
Yeah.
In terms of him. This was Gus last night with Jeff Wagman on the Gus Bradley Show every Thursday night here on 1010XL 92.5 FM, along with Jaguars Thursday. That's 2 hours of goodness for you right here on the flagship station. This is Gus talking about Brandon Linder going down yesterday.
You know, with Brandon Linder, we'll see. I know it was with his, the foot was the issue, so, you know, we'll monitor that and see where he's at. We'll get details on that tomorrow morning as well.
The details are, for that one, kind of day-to-day. That's the best news out of the whole bunch right here. Because,
sure.
I mean, he's, again, vying for a starting spot as a rookie. You don't want to have him miss any kind of extended period of time. And if you feel that your best combo ends up being McClendon and Linder, center and right guard, you know, that's just one more reason. You presume in that three-way battle for two spots that Jetfish talked to us about earlier this week that Linder will end up claiming one of those two spots.
Well, yeah, he's probably going to start at right guard would be my guess. And they need to be able to use the preseason to get the guys that they think are going to be their starting five offensive linemen on the field together. We've talked to a couple of the linemen here in the last couple of weeks with Jokel and Beatles coming in studio with us, Mike, and both of them talk about, look, you need time to build some chemistry on the offensive line. Those guys have to be on the field together to develop that kind of chemistry. And again, if Brandon Linder's going to miss any time as far as preseason games, that affects that unit being able to grow together a little bit.
Let's jump ahead here again. More Gus Bradley yesterday from the Gus Bradley Show on 1010XL. He was talking, weighing in on some of the performance of how the rookie wide receivers have been doing in camp.
You know, you see them. You know, just watch them when you're out at practice. When they're not running a route, you see them on the sideline, and they're running in place and planning and breaking, and they're working on their footwork. You know, it really demonstrates they want to be good.
Specifically now, Damian Copeland has much more of an opportunity over the next several weeks. And Gus mentioned him yesterday as one guy who hasn't returned punts before, but he will probably look to, as he said, I forget the phrasing he used, teach him the position, train him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see if he's got that because I think he's in a position where he needs to be able to help this team in more ways than just catching the football in order to make the 53-man roster. But he's going to have that opportunity now.
You wonder if tomorrow night with the scrimmage that they may use an extended period of that to look at some punt return stuff with the questions that they have there. I mean, significant questions. Doss is out. Ace Sanders is out. Is Blackman comfortable doing it after not doing it for as long as he hasn't? Marquise Lee, do you really want to expose what right now is your only healthy wide receiver that you thought would be starting for you from the beginning? Do you really want to risk him a whole lot on punt returns at this point in the season? And again, take a look at a guy like Copeland, and maybe that is a part of the scrimmage tomorrow night, is to take an extensive look at that in some live action.
Yeah, and some of these other options that they've got. Their final thought from Gus Bradley, again, these were comments he made on the Gus Bradley Show last night on 1010XL 92.5 FM, talking about the quarterback play for this team so far.
You know, we want to catch him doing good. And Chad's been so good for him, you know. And I think, you know, what a relationship those two have, as well as Ricky and Steven. You know, they're all working together real good, and you're seeing progress.
Yeah, and it was interesting yesterday, I thought, anyway, when Tanner Doss was down. It was the end of practice. Everyone's kind of filing in. Gus Bradley kind of, you know, keeping his hand on his chest, like he was there with, he knew this was more than just your run of the mill, I'll be popping up in a few seconds kind of injury. All four of the quarterbacks came over as a group. They do really seem to work together. I mean, there's competition. All these guys are not going to be on the 53-man roster.
Right.
They know that. And Chad, we've detailed it to a great degree. He knows exactly the position he's in. He is helping prepare the guy who's eventually going to take his job away from, as Chad put it to us earlier this summer, my job is to keep my job.
That's right.
Right? I need to go out there and be the best Chad Henne I could be. And if I am able to hang on to the starting quarterback job, that means I'm probably playing pretty well for this football team. So we'll see if they're able to do something tomorrow on offense with a depleted group right now as far as those wide receivers go. So we'll update you as we get more information on that throughout the course of practice this morning. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, we're live at Jaguar Camp. We'll catch up, like we said, with some other members of the media throughout the course of the morning, get their view on what they see so far, the early stages of this Friday practice. And I'd like you to weigh in on our question of the day. Tweet us or post on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Jaguars Today. Tell us what your go-to beverage and food item of choice is when you're tailgating for your Jacksonville Jaguars. Share the pictures is even a better way to do things.
And, oh, yeah.
We'll give out probably more than one Jaguars Today T-shirt. Still got a few left here under the table as well. If you're heading out here, and probably most of you have already arrived, but Brock still, yesterday, we promised him one. He said he's going to show up today. Have not seen him yet, so we'll see. I've got one. Got one on hold for him, but everybody else, while supplies last, come on by and grab one of those. We'll continue on Jaguars Today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday, straight ahead on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today brought to you every Friday by Claude Nolan Cadillac. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Tony, we will discuss parking arrangements coming up for game day. Lauren Brooks is apparently got it into the secret stash.
Yes, she has.
Come up with a stash of J parking for herself. J is the lot, which is right by gate one.
Yep.
Which is right where we're going to do the pregame festivities. And Lauren's going to be, working the crowd. She has designated herself the official tailgate tester of 1010XL and Jaguars Today.
Heck yeah.
Sounds like a horrible job. Sounds like a lousy way to spend 2.5 hours before game day.
Lauren, after the pregame, do you have any on-air responsibilities the rest of the day on game day?
Sure don't.
You do, so you can get wasted.
No. I have a press credential.
Oh, I know, but it doesn't mean you have to use it.
That's right.
I don't know. Did you see how happy I was in that picture?
Straight to the Bud Zone. You were pretty happy. Go check us out. I retweeted in the timeline picture of Lauren with her cute little straw hat on today. we'll get the whole story behind the straw hat a little bit later on. But let's welcome in our pal Mike DiRocco from ESPN, the Jaguar beat writer for the four-letter network. What's up, Michael? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're good. We're good.
Nice little shaded tent over here.
It's not bad. We determined it's not quite a little breezier than yesterday. Yesterday was a hot one out here, and not a good one in terms of keeping players healthy. And I guess word's going around this morning, Allen Robinson out a quote extended period of time. That position group seems like a magnet for injury so far this offseason.
Yeah, it was that way in June, and it's apparently going to stay that way in July. And Marquise Lee has a day off today, and I think that's partly because they're scared to death.
Fear.
Yeah. that he would, fall or something, or a blade of grass would, come up, grab his ankle. But, they're down to, six healthy receivers, I think, at this point. Mike Brown, Kerry Taylor, Chad Bumpus, Lamar Thomas.
Copeland.
Copeland's got a wrist injury, and they're going to be reevaluating him. So Hearns and Slaughter.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're down to that's the bottom of the barrel.
We were right just there. Talking about because Gus mentioned yesterday Copeland might be a guy, other than Lee and Blackman, who have a little bit of punt return experience, Copeland might be a guy they train at that position. So now, a guy like that, you don't wish for your teammate to get injured, but you need an opportunity to get significant reps and impress these guys in a training camp setting. And now, he gets a setback in that regard as well, man. They just can't catch a break right now.
No, and you're right about it. I mean, that's what happened in the spring. Kerry Taylor really stepped up in the spring. I mean, he was with the team last year and, started four games at the end of the year. So, he at least had a foot in the door. But he stepped up. Chad Bumpus stepped up in the spring. Allen Hearns, I think we all saw, really stepped up, and that's, earned him a camp invitation, too. So you have to take advantage when those things happen. Unfortunately, you're right, you don't want to see a teammate go down. But, if you're Nathan Slaughter here, you got to be going, all right, this is my chance.
This is it, here.
And even if you don't make this team, you can at least get something on film a little bit or get, and end up, maybe you get an invite somewhere else.
Or you get, you put something in the back of the coaching staff's right. mind that if something happens later on down the line, they remember and maybe keep you on that short list.
I wanted to see if we got the third horn again.
We've been waiting to see where the third horn's going to come today. Any minute now.
They should have fired that bad boy up when they said, Copeland can't go.
Hannah Dawson's thinking, man, I missed that by about 30 seconds right. yesterday. Seriously. Oh, right. I know they went ahead and... cancel the last few plays they were going to do.
Right, but, I think I said they were going to do four more.
Right, something
so, yeah.
like that.
I mean, that happened right in front of me, too.
We were all right. Yeah, I mean, we're yeah, all right yeah, there at the corner right, of the yeah. end zone, and it was like at the 20-yard line or whatever it was.
It was not good.
No. One of the things Mike and I were talking about, too, with all the injuries at wide receiver is, look, this is an offense that we had a lot of questions about. We feel like the defense is going to be pretty good.
Should be a lot of
young pieces in the secondary coming together this year. That defensive line looks like it'll be much better than it has been recently, but on offense it was like, well, maybe the receivers work out, maybe the offensive line works out, and they have Chad Henne playing quarterback, and no depth at tight end, which got hurt again this week.
Right.
And, look, now they can't even get the pieces on the field to see what they have, and I think that, as much as anything, could have an impact on this season for them.
Yeah, I think, obviously, that they feel pretty good about Mike Brown at receiver. They really like Mike Brown. I think they know what they have in Kerry Taylor. Cecil... The hope, obviously, is that, you know, it's supposed to be 2 weeks, maybe a little longer, that he'll be back soon. So in those three guys, you at least have an idea of what you have. But you're right, after that, and Mercedes, obviously. But after that, yeah, there's very little proven depth on this roster. And it might be, I mean, we may not even see Allen Robinson for the opener.
We just right. don't know.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
extended
you
period
don't know.
Of time
Doss,
is open-ended.
You know, Doss, know. Yeah, Doss, I mean, they said... that means a minimum of 2 weeks. So, I mean, Doss may not be ready for the opener. Robinson may not be ready for the opener. You know, you got scrimmage. You got four preseason games you got to get through. I mean, if you don't have your guys by the time that season rolls around, they really will be. It'll be a lot like the beginning of last year where you just don't know how you're going to be able to move the ball. It's going to be the Toby Gerhart show.
ESPN's Mike DiRocco here with us talking Jaguar football live at training camp. Jaguars today. Here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Yesterday, D-Rock, we talked about, you know, what position or position groups concerned you the most. Receiver was a little bit further down the list. Now it's starting to become more of a concern. But offensive line, you know, Jed Fish has talked a bit this week about a three-man battle for two spots. And that, you know, I think the idea that they had pushed was that Brewster was really coming along doing everything they wanted. Now it seems like he's in more of a fight for his job than we expected with Jock McClendon. Although with Linder going down, they say, you know, he's kind of day to day. Assuming he gets back quickly, how do you see that three-man race shaping up for those spots?
Well, I think if Linder comes back relatively quickly, I think he's going to be the starter at right guard. They want him to be the starter. I think it's evident at this point. And he had moved to the top of the depth chart by the time camp began and was working with the one. So I think if he's healthy, he'll be the starter at right guard. If not, obviously it'll be McClendon. I'm intrigued by the Brewster-McClendon battle there. McClendon can snap. I think he was the guy who actually went over and snapped for Brad Meester's play last year, the reception.
So he's got plenty of experience.
Exactly. which I think, if I'm correct, is exactly one more snap than Mike Brewster has in an NFL game.
Good
too,
point.
Because he hasn't snapped either. So, you know, the biggest knock on Brewster has been lower body strength. And, you know, he looks bigger. He says he worked out over the summer pretty hard, got stronger.
That was the word. And he and Joko were like, you know, the workout wonder.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. And I don't know. It's hard. I mean, the first day in full pads the other day was really an eye-opener. I think, for the most part, the defensive line has been ahead of the offensive line in camp so far, so that wasn't a surprise. You know, Brewster did an okay job, I thought, the other day. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the scrimmage tomorrow night. Let's see some preseason games, too. But, you know, right now I still think Brewster has the lead, but it's not good for him that they're deciding to give McClendon some reps at center, for sure. But, I mean, and they need to find someone else who could snap in case he does get hurt.
Sure.
So it's partly due to that as well.
We've been talking about interior offensive line all week since we had that conversation with Jed Fish, and he mentioned the fact that it's, you know, three guys for two spots. And the name that we haven't even mentioned is the sixth-round pick, Luke Belenko,
right,
who I've seen running at guard at times when Jock McClendon's in there at center. Have you seen anything from him? What do you expect his roster status to be when everything is said and done?
I think he might end up being a practice squad guy. But, I mean, you know, they're trying to cross-train all these guys as much as possible because having you know, the ability to play more than one spot. It certainly helps you depth-wise, and it certainly, you know, if you want to cheat and maybe keep an extra linebacker instead of an extra offensive lineman or what have you, then that allows you to do that, I think, in the roster. But, yeah, I mean, I've seen him struggle a little bit, seen him, I mean, a typical rookie. I mean, he's a sixth-round pick, so, you know, he's not going to get as many reps as, like you'd say, Linderwood.
Sure.
Just because he's not, I didn't think he was as strong of a blocker as Linder was, just in the few clips that I watched after the draft for these guys. But, you know, we'll see. I think he'll probably end up on the practice squad. There's another guy that, you know, Drew Nowak is still fighting for a job, too. He was a guy that was on the practice squad last year, came up, I think, at the end of the year for a couple of games, or at least one game. So, I mean, there's a lot of battle. It's not a sexy battle by any means. It's certainly not as interesting for most people as watching maybe like the safety battle.
Sure.
But, you know, it's probably going to be more key to this team than anything else.
Those safeties, man, that's a big pair right there.
Yeah.
And Winston guy loves to flap his gums. And, you know, if he can play with a little bit more discipline this year, I think he's going to be pretty good. You know, he's we overuse the word flash. A flash can mean you made one play that we noticed in a practice.
Yeah, the one play we were looking at,
right,
he did
well,
a good job.
He flashed a little bit there. He made that one play. But he has gotten pretty consistent praise from the coach at that. But getting off that, your thoughts on Blake Bortles, what you saw as OTAs ended compared to coming back for this first week of camp, have you noticed the difference in him at all?
I have, and you know, Jed Fish said the other day that Blake came back ahead of where he thought he would be in terms of knowledge of the offense, having a deeper understanding of the offense. So that's encouraging for the Jaguars for sure. I think, personally, he's thrown the ball better in training camp than he did in minicamp and OTAs. A lot of balls fluttered in OTAs and minicamp. And I think, I mean, we were talking about it on the sideline during OTAs. I mean, it's like, wow.
A lot
of
balls.
That's, right. I mean, you know, your first-round quarterback, who's 6'5", 230, ought to be able to throw that 60-yard ball down the field without underthrowing it, fluttering like someone, you know, took a shot at it. So he's thrown it much better. I think he's a lot more confident, too. I know he's worked on some footwork issues, you know, specifically making sure he's stepping towards where he throws, getting his body into the throw, because to be honest with you, there were some throws too that he made in spring that I was like, wow, you know, he's got to have a better arm than that. He's a big kid, and he's made some strides in that area. So I like the progress, and that should be encouraging. The fact that there has been progress is what Jags fans should really focus on. He's not going to be your starter this year. Ideally, the Jags say he won't play, but the fact that he's making progress is encouraging, because if not, and he's stagnant, then that's actually a step back.
I know a lot of people have said it, and I think the word is overused a lot, but I tend to agree with it. I feel like Blake Bortles is a bit of a gamer. Like when
I would agree with that.
When
the
lights come on, I'm interested to see how that looks for him compared to what we're seeing out here at camp, because I do think he's gotten better. They get put in a pseudo-game atmosphere at least tomorrow. What do you expect this team to be doing tomorrow night? What are they working on?
Well, a lot of it is probably going to depend on the receivers, obviously, but I think we're going to see a lot of short stuff, a lot of, you know, rollouts, you know, and they like to do that. And Chad Henne actually surprisingly moves a little bit better than I thought he would in terms of rolling out to his right or his left and throws the ball decently on the run. But we're going to see a lot of short stuff. They're going to make sure that they kind of protect the quarterbacks a little bit and protect, you know, they're going to have to protect the wide receivers too. But, you know, what we really need to see is we need to see some of that running game. We need to see that interior run. We need to see Toby Gerhart getting up in there. And I think a guy that we haven't mentioned I thought's had a really good camp too is Jordan Todman. And I'd like to see him get some reps too. And if he can be that guy that they can get on the edge, then they should have a pretty good inside-outside run game, provided the interior of that offensive line, you know, is at least average.
He's got a burst, man.
Yeah, he does.
See Todman, when he gets that little bit of a seam of daylight, boom, you're not catching him most of the times, you know. So we'll see if that plays out when things are a little bit more alive. It's always tough to judge, for me anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, and unless it's 11-on-11 live, full contact, you know, and they're hitting you to the ground, which doesn't happen much in training camp practice. Mike DeRocco, you can follow him on Twitter, as you should if you don't already, at ESPN. DeRocco, we'll be seeing you. I won't see you at the scrimmage. I've been out here for every practice, but got to work tomorrow night. But we'll see you out here next week as Tampa Bay, man, just a week away.
Oh, thank God, finally pre-season, a game to write about.
Right? Some actual football is on the horizon, Mike. Good to see you, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me,
thanks
guys.
For stopping by. Mike DiRocco here with us. Jaguars Today continues on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Coming up next, we'll take a look at this date in football history, the most beloved segment of radio probably ever in history. No hyperbole whatsoever. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, more Jaguars Today live from training camp with the Jacksonville Jaguars straight ahead on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I'm Lauren Brooks, your 1010XL 92.5 FM, Pekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update, brought to you by Osteen Volkswagen. The Jags have a full scrimmage tomorrow at Everbank Field, but the team now has multiple players who will miss that practice and several over the next few weeks. Rookie wide receiver Allen Robinson is once again experiencing tightness in his hamstring, which had kept him out of OTAs, and fellow receiver Tandon Doss will also be out for an extended period of time due to an ankle injury. In better news, rookie guard Brandon Linder has been classified as day-to-day after suffering a foot sprain yesterday. Tomorrow's scrimmage for the Jags begins at 6:45 with gates opening at 5 o'clock. And parking is free surrounding Everbank Field, but the Main Street Bridge will be closed, though an alternate route is recommended. The scrimmage is free, and you can pre-register at jaguars.com/scrimmage. You'll hear the Jaguars in action on 1010XL and 92.5 FM, with play-by-play starting at 6:30 by our own Frank Frangie, color by Tony Vistelli and Jeff Lagerman, and our own Rick Ballou reporting from the sideline. FIU has landed another Jacksonville High School athlete in Trinity Christian's offensive lineman, Deanne Eakin. This weekend, don't miss your chance to meet former Florida Gator Shane Matthews this Saturday at the SEC Network launch event at the AT&T store at the St. John's Town Center from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. I'm Lauren Brooks with your 1010XL 92.5 FM Pekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update, brought to you by Osteen Volkswagen.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
Here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, this date in football history is brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Tony!
Yes!
Did you know that on this date in 1972, Broadway Joe Namath signed a two-year contract worth $500,000 with the New York Jets?
We seem to have a this date in football history moment around Joe Namath every 2 weeks.
It does seem like he's done a lot.
He's definitely the most recurring theme
this date. Pete Rozelle questioned Joe Namath about organized crime's involvement in his restaurant. And so that really happened. 500 grand, though, two-year contract. He'd won the Super Bowl. He was already, I believe, set by 72, probably on the downturn significantly of his career. But still, think of that. 500 grand for a starting quarterback, Super Bowl champion quarterback, 250 grand a year.
And the most popular player in the league at the time.
Was a probably among them, certainly. Yeah. Most notorious. But regardless, 1976, the Seahawks played their first preseason game ever. They lost that one 27-20 to the San Francisco 49ers.
Take that.
The spark of a rivalry.
That's right.
That
it began.
Reunited.
That time ago.
And then the Seahawks, of course, played the AFC West for years, for all you young whippersnappers out there.
Yes, they did.
And they had the original Kurt Warner, Kurt with a C, who played running back. He came from Penn State. He was a good player. And all that stuff happened. Some interesting birthdays. Not necessarily a bunch of interesting ones. I pared down. I left a bunch of them on the cutting room floor today. But Quentin Coriat was born on this date in 1970. He and was it Steve Entman? Was it the Colts at the back-to-back first and second pick in the draft? I believe it was Entman and Coriat in that order, like circa 1990-ish, something like that. That's what I'm going to go with. And how about this? 1966, Daryl Hall, NFL cornerback for the San Francisco 49ers. I wonder if he was a future teammate of Bart Oates. Any chance? I mean, seriously, Daryl Hall.
Hall and Oates,
baby. And I mean, Bart Oates played for the San Francisco 49ers,
I believe.
One of the Oates boys played for Philly, I think, didn't he?
No, Oates went out there after he played for the Giants. Yeah, we talked to him at the Super Bowl this year.
Wasn't there another Oates? Wasn't there multiple Oates linemen?
There was at least the second one, but I don't remember.
I want to say one of them played for Philly. I think one of them played for Philadelphia in the USFL. the Philadelphia Stars, I think, might have been Bart or Brad. Brad and Bart, right, were the two Oates's?
I know Bart.
I think that's who they were. Anyway, maybe one of them played with Daryl Hall. Maybe one of them didn't. I don't really know. But that is what happened among the things that happened on this date in football history, this date in football history Jaguar training camp edition. They took the pads off. They wrapped Marquise Lee in bubble wrap, and they proceeded to practice very gingerly today following a spate of soft tissue injuries.
Yeah, there's not a lot of contact going on out there today.
Not at all. Best Fence Company of Jacksonville, their mission to fabricate and install the highest quality product for you at a competitive price while providing unsurpassed customer service. We know fencing is an investment in your home or your business, whether it's for protection, beautification, you name it. The customization that Best Fence can provide is second to none. 268-1638. That's the number you need to go. Get a professional free estimate from the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville or visit them online at bestfencejax.net for more information. I told you, Lauren's got the credentials, and
yeah,
she's got the J parking. So
I'm all right with Lauren having J parking.
I am, too.
well, thank you for approving that.
Well, no, I am, too. And Lauren, let me finish because I already have mine.
Right?
In the glove box.
Look, I come to every Jaguar game that I get the opportunity. When they're here, I'm here. And despite that fact, I have always been given the H parking.
Yeah, X parking.
Always.
Tony had to park on the Main Street Bridge.
If there's parking as far away as possible, I guess because I'm young and I'm not a girl, I always get the farthest away parking that I possibly can. Like I said, I'm okay with Lauren getting J parking. I just hope that I do as well.
Chad Scott on the 1010XL account tweeted out a picture of Lauren and I out at the Bartram Trail practice the other night.
Yeah.
Looking at the relative sizes of us, you can see who doesn't need to be walking long distances right now, and that would be me. So if it came down to us, Lauren, I was going to say, I'm glad you're in shape. And you know what? You want women wanted equality. There's your equality.
That's right.
Go park on the Main Street Bridge, all right?
Yes.
I really don't mind the walking. It's just... you can ride with me, Tony, if you get bad parking. How's that?
Well, are you willing to stay at the stadium until 7? Because that's about what time I'll be leaving.
Okay, no. You're on
quick
your own.
By the way, good tailgating debates taking place in the Twitter feeds this morning. Fall off the bone versus non-fall off the bone ribs. I'm good with either.
Right.
Personally, it's all going to the same place eventually. I'm not really snobbish about that. Somebody put Publix wings on it. I'm good with that, too.
They're good, yeah.
You don't have to cook your own, man. If that's what you want to do for the tailgate, do whatever you like. But share your go-to tailgating items with us, both beverage and sustenance, food.
No one's mentioned bowl peanuts yet.
Bowl peanuts?
Bowl peanuts.
Is bowl peanuts, as my wife calls it, she loves her some bowl peanuts.
Me, too.
Oh, she does. Seriously, if we go buy a stand selling some bowl peanuts,
mm-hmm,
we may have to stop and get some bowl peanuts.
Oh, really?
I always have to stop.
Big fan of the boiled peanuts. But is that anyone's number one tailgate item?
Probably mine.
I don't think so. Really?
That's mm-hmm your favorite thing
mm-hmm
at a tailgate.
Single
yeah
favorite thing at yep a tailgate?
Yeah, I could sit there and eat them. We'll really stand there and eat them for 2 hours straight.
All right.
When people bring them to parties, they'll say, okay, who wants the bowl peanuts? Because as soon as Lauren's allowed to have access to them, they're going to be gone.
They're gone.
Yep, that's me.
Man. So if you had a plate in front of you with a delicious, juicy hamburger cooked to your desired specifications,
mm-hmm,
choose the bowl peanuts over that, huh?
Well, I mean, I like it all, so I'll eat the hamburger, too. But there's something fun about eating bowl peanuts. It takes you a while, and it becomes a whole thing, you know? You get the shells, and it's just... You get the big ones, then you get the small ones. They're delicious.
Bowl
and salty, I love them.
With Lauren Brooks. She'll be blogging. You're going to be blogging this up a little bit.
Maybe we'll bring up this topic on helmets and heels on Tuesday.
Oh, there you go. Helmets mm-hmm and heels. There's a little preview for you, a little inside scoop on what's going on.
Bowl peanuts talk coming on Tuesday.
Bowl peanuts talk. Don't miss it. Coming up on Tuesday. Now, let's hear a little bit from Blake Bortles. Yesterday, met with the assembled media after practice, and as soon as I dig up the transcript here, I'll tell you exactly what he had to say. We had a few cuts from him just talking about where he feels like he's at this point in time. So let's start with Blake Bortles answering the question on if he feels like he's been progressing and moving forward.
You know, I think it's kind of the second time around. You know, it's a second chance at going through the install, second chance of hearing everything. I think July was a good month that I was able to stay here and work out some and, you know, get with Ricky on some things and try and improve as much as I could.
There was a lot of, you know, kind of low-key Blake throwing with receivers here in Jacksonville.
There was.
At stuff going on, which is great. That's what you want to see, man.
Cat's rolling in, by the way.
Tell the cat to stay away. Cat crashed into the table earlier, knocked us off the air. Easy on that thing. What are those things called? Segway.
That's
right?
Segway, yeah.
Yeah, Segway. That thing is all over the place, man. He'll be sitting lunch and sitting there eating lunch. You know, cat comes just full uniform, just zipping through on the Segway.
He
right
rides that thing line. Up on the escalator.
On the escalator. Good for you, Cat. They
He's
love
a bold man.
All right, stay away from the broadcast table, though, Cat, if you could, with the segue. Let's see. How, for Blake Bortles, how does the offense feel? What is your comfort level with it right now?
It definitely feels better. You know, I think it's starting to slow down. You know, there's still a ton of things that I need to improve on and continue to work on. But as far as, you know, I think the offense is concerned, it's definitely been better the second time around. You know, you go through it in OTAs, and then being here in camp, going through it for the second time, it's been better.
Look, as Mike DeRocco pointed out, it's not like he's not throwing a Jeff George spiral every time.
Sure.
But it does look like he's throwing the ball better. I wonder how much of that just simply has to do with he's a little bit more comfortable, he's thinking a little bit less, and therefore he can maybe concentrate a little bit more on tightening up his mechanics.
Sure. Well, I mean, that's what he talked to us about during the off season. Every time we mentioned the fact that, hey, the ball is wobbling a little bit, he's like, look, I'm working on some mechanical stuff, specifically with my lower body, my legs, and my feet, making sure I'm in the right position. And consequently, the way I'm throwing the ball is suffering a little bit. So, again, just two horns instead of three there in practice. But consequently, the way he was throwing the ball was suffering a little bit. But I think we saw enough of him in college to know that he can throw the ball well. It shouldn't be that big of an issue. And what you're seeing when he comes back for camp now is maybe he's a little bit more comfortable with those mechanics. Like we said, he's been working with these guys even during the downtime, trying to make sure that he's staying in the playbook, staying in the film room, staying on the field, working on these things. And it's paying dividends for him here early on in camp.
Let's hear a little bit more from Blake Bortles again yesterday after practice. I was asked, what is the most important thing so far that has helped you out in your development?
You know, I think it just comes with taking the reps. You know, obviously the more reps you get, the more comfortable you're going to get with it. So continuing to take those reps, take meaningful reps, and when you're not in there taking reps, taking mental reps, you know, standing behind.
And so it's just, again, just the exposure to what they're doing out there. And the defense, he doesn't have a lot to compare it to, you know, but from what he's seen, how much is the defense challenging the offense and making it a little bit tough on him?
They're doing a great job. You know, they do some stuff that that is difficult to handle. So, I mean, I think it allows us to see some different looks and check to some different things and handle different situations.
All right, there's a little bit from your quarterback of the future, Blake Bortles. And, you know, as far as media exposure, they're pretty much once a week giving you access to him, which you know you're going to get. And there's not this clamoring. There's no artificial anything being created in terms of a competition between these guys, Tony. But once the scrimmage takes place and then really starting next week with the preseason games, to the casual fan out there, you're going to have a hard time explaining if Blake plays even with Chad Henne, why Blake Bortles is not on the field during the football season. If they, to their eye, look like he is doing just as much good in those preseason contests, that's probably the best litmus test you have. The Jags, I think, regardless of how they look, I mean, barring some kind of gulf that doesn't appear like it's going to take place between Henne and Bortles, they're going to stick with the plan. I don't doubt that. I just wonder how much noise will be generated if Blake outplays Chad in one or two of these preseason games early.
Look, and I know I heard T-Wig earlier this week. They were talking about this a little bit on primetime, and, you know, we've talked about this before, too. Gus is very familiar with what happened in Seattle with Russell Wilson, where there was no pressure on Russell to come in. It was a different situation. He's a third-round pick, so he's coming in to be drafted to be a backup and maybe develop into something, and he just developed so quickly that nobody could ignore it. It's almost like they put Blake in a similar situation where the expectation isn't there for him to be ready yet, but they want him to come out here and want to be ready now, to put them in a position where they can't say, all right, we're going to sit him down. And as soon as Blake shows him that, then it's his team. And I think we're seeing him more comfortable than he's been before. I'm really curious to see what it's going to look like when those lights come on for him, because like we were talking about with DeRocco, I really get the sense of this guy, when the lights are on, he's different than he is on the practice field. You see him even on the rollouts and stuff out here, those eyes are always downfield. He's always looking to make the play. And you're hoping that translates more to what goes on in live action, even more so than what it does on a practice field.
All right, we'll step aside and return, and we'll talk a little bit about the scrimmage tomorrow, what we think you'll see from it. I can't say what I'll see because I won't be there. I've got a show tomorrow night, but what you may be have in store for you tomorrow, and the broadcast plans as well, the debut of the new broadcast team,
yeah,
in kind of a dress rehearsal, so to speak, for the preseason. The preseason, a dress rehearsal for the regular season, but we've got that coming up for you tomorrow on 1010XL, 92.5 FM as well. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010. Don't forget, continue to send your submissions for your favorite tailgate item, both beverage and food item, and we'll give away a few Jaguar Today t-shirts based on some of your responses a little bit later on in the show. Folks, is your home's foundation letting you down? We certainly hope that's not the case. Foundation Pros of Florida, the foundation professionals of Florida, will have the solution for you. They know how important a foundation is to your biggest investment, your home. They know you as fans are the foundation of the Jaguar organization. It makes perfect sense to make sure that the foundation of your home is in good shape. 287-2690, the number for foundation professionals of Florida. You got to know the symptoms of maybe having problems. Exterior and interior wall cracks, windows and doors sticking, sloping floors. There's a lot of things that can tip you off. Go to foundationprosfl.com to learn more, or call them at 287-2690. And by the way, today's the last day to submit pictures for from the mega event last Saturday. Go to Jaguars Today's Facebook page and post one. We got a thread pinned at the top, and the picture we like the best this week is going to go into a drawing for tickets to the home opener against the Colts. Next week we'll have a new photo contest up on the Facebook page as well. With that, Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on a Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, glad you're with us. Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday since 1905. Our friends at Claude Nolan Cadillac have served as the preferred Cadillac dealer here in Northeast Florida, with the largest selection of new and pre-owned Cadillacs in Jacksonville. And get this, absolutely no dealer fees. They've got an on-site body shop. They'll paint and repair all models, and they're guaranteed to offer you the highest level in customer care and service. The elegance and experience of driving a Cadillac, only a step away. You can build your lasting relationship by logging on to ClaudeNolan.com or visit them on Southside Boulevard. Give them a call at 642-5111. That's 642-5111 for Claude Nolan Cadillac. Claude Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony. Hayes Carline has broken the fourth wall, Tony, or something, the glass ceiling. He is making his Jaguars Today debut. Long overdue. That's bad. My bad, Hayes. How you doing, man?
Ah, man, it is. I'm doing great. It's an honor. Enjoy the show, and happy to with you guys.
Hayes, of course, the beat writer for the Jags for the Times Union, and today, how, in terms of scintillating edge of your seat content, how would you rate today's training camp practice?
You know, Gus was didn't want to see the lull happen. I think at least with the media guys on the side, the lull is here. Yeah, there's not a whole lot of exciting things going on out there. I think they have 19 guys out of 90 that are sitting out today. So yeah, you can tell they're just kind of pacing themselves to get ready for tomorrow night's scrimmage. But yeah, so not a whole lot of action out there right now.
Which they probably would have done anyway with the first 2 days of full contact, and you've got a scrimmage where you're going to go pretty hard. They probably would have done that today anyway, but just on the heels of just a little rash of injuries yesterday. We've talked about it all morning, Tony and I have. It just seems, you know, bad luck sometimes. A team gets hit all in one position group, and it was 7 wide receivers sidelined during OTAs, and now 3 of the prospective top 4 on the depth chart sidelined as well, and you hate to hear extended period attached to Allen Robinson.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw it. It's a different position, but we saw it last year with Jonathan Cyprian. He couldn't practice immediately to start training camp, and he admits, you know, it held him back. And, you know, safety and receiver are, you know, opposite sides of the ball, but there is a lot of mental, you know, taxing things that you have to go through at both those positions as a rookie to get up to speed. So, you know, for him to miss that time, I think it's pretty devastating to the offense at this point in the process as they try to get things going. I mean, the guy was running with the first team pretty much in every formation.
Hazen, taking a look at this wide receiver group, we didn't see a lot of the rookies in the offseason because they both got hurt during that first week, really, of everything happening. But they come back for training camp, and I thought they both looked sharp. And they don't look like rookies all the time out there. Has that been kind of your perspective on it, too?
Yeah, I think Allen Robinson's really polished. And, you know, Dave Caldwell's talked about, you know, how well he can catch the ball outside of his cylinder, you know, which is that, you know, that torso area. I mean, he's outstanding going low. He can get up for the ball. Will Blackman called him, you know, kind of the new breed of receiver that we're seeing in the NFL, where he's got size, but he also has the speed to blow past corners. And Marquise Lee's got an excellent stop start. I mean, it's I don't know that it's Percy Harvin stop start, but it's I think it's pretty elite from what I've seen. He put a double move on Demetrius McCray 4 or 5 days ago that I thought was just outstanding, and McCray's been playing well. So, yeah, they're two different guys, but, yeah, I've been really impressed with both of them.
I guarantee you now, Tony, come the end of the season when we go back into draft mode once again, months from now, cylinder is my new favorite term, right?
You gotta, we always look for something.
To play, extend beyond the cylinder to make the catch away from your body.
That's, no, it's funny, that's too, fantastic. That you mentioned, look, we've talked about this on the show, coming into the league, if you're going to be, you know, not just an average player, you want to be an above-average player, a great player, there has to be something that at your position you're special at. And it sounds like Marquise Lee is a stop-start guy, like he has that exceptional skill to be able to do that. And Allen Robinson uses his size. I mean, he's a young guy, but he already uses that size, and I think he's faster than people thought he was, too, coming in.
Yeah, I agree. And one thing with Lee that I thought was interesting when we talked to Chad Henne is he kind of compared his instincts as far as when to cut a route off or extend it, and his ability to kind of read what a corner is doing and what the defense is doing. He compared it to like a 5-10 year vet, which I was really, you know, that kind of, you know, perked me up a little bit. I mean, these guys are always going to complement each other, so some of it, you know, you kind of take with a grain of salt. But I did think, coming from Chad Henne, who tends to kind of, you know, be real when he talks and doesn't engage a ton in exaggerations, you know, I thought that spoke volumes about Marquise Lee, because, you know, as we talked about, he didn't have a lot of time in the off-season program. So to kind of demonstrate that to a veteran like Henne so early, I think that does says a lot about him. And I think Allen Robinson, his route running is superb. I mean, I think that's the one thing that, you know, the receivers coach Jerry Sullivan really noticed immediately, even before the draft, was, you know, what a great route runner Allen Robinson is, and certainly can end up being in the NFL.
Hayes Carline here with us from the Florida Times Union. You can follow him on Twitter, and I assume most people who listen to this program pretty into the Jags, they probably follow most of the Jags media, but in case you don't, HaysCarline, Hayes Carline. I would say spelled just like it sounds, but I don't think it is.
No.
In my case, anyway.
The only good thing about that last name is you can weed out the solicitors pretty quickly, because it's
sure.
Carolyn Corleone. you haven't reached the Godfather.
I noticed you're not like Hayes Carline 31 on Twitter, so there weren't 30 other guys that got before you, which is nice, though.
Yeah, I don't think I have to worry about getting verified or anything like that. I don't think there's a whole lot of other guys out there with
that. Tomorrow, 1010XL will broadcast the scrimmage with the crew. Frank Franch will be up there with Tony Baselli and Jeff Loggeman. I assume Rick Ballew doing some sideline stuff as well. In terms of what we'll see on the field, what is your expectation for what fans coming out can look for tomorrow?
I think the defense is going to kind of control things, which is somewhat typical in any camp early on. But I don't know. I kind of have, you know, muted expectations, I would say, as far as, you know, big plays from the offense and things like that. I think you need to see the offensive line cohesion, you know, particularly in the interior there. But I kind of expect it to be a day where the defense kind of controls things, and, you know, particularly with now the receivers, you know, being so banged up.
More run than pass tomorrow night. Want to take a look at these four running backs, give them all a chance.
Yeah, I think that'd be a great, you know, strategy for sure. Is, you know, I mean, that group is healthy. You know, Denard Robinson's done some really nice things, so certainly want to give him a lot of reps, but you also need to get Gerhardt going. And, you know, in Storm, I've been impressed with Storm Johnson, and obviously, Todman's a great slasher as well. So, yeah, I would be surprised if they didn't go pretty run heavy with it. And you know, that'll be interesting to see. It'll I'm looking forward to seeing old Red Bryant. And if he comes to play, then there could be some pretty intriguing moments out there to watch him bang with the offensive linemen.
It's funny because there's so many big, I mean, just abnormally large men in the National Football League. But Red is a guy that everyone goes up against and says, wow, there's some big guys. There are not too many guys like Red Bryant that combine that freakish man strength with the hulking size, and you know you're in for a long day if you're going to line up against him. And I think it's been a while. I mean, the Stroud Henderson days, you knew you were going into a fight if you were an offensive line coming on to take on this team. I think with him and Clemens, something Tony and I have talked extensively about, I mean, that defensive front four as a unit, as a group, including the two deep, might be the best unit on this football team. And when's the last time you could say that?
Yeah, and I completely agree. I think that's an excellent point. To me, the defensive line is going to be where they're going to have to maybe make the toughest cut. It'll depend on how many they decide to keep. But I think, you know, you can make a case for 9 or 10 guys, you know, making the 53. It's extremely competitive. It is extremely deep. Ziggy Hood has looked good, I think. You know, so that is a position that I think they could afford, you know, an injury or two and maybe not miss as much of a beat as they would at pretty much any other spot on the field.
Yeah, they're going to cut several guys this year that would have been no doubters for this team over the last couple of seasons, which is, you know, a good sign. It sucks when you cut a guy loose and maybe he gets picked up immediately somewhere else, and you're like, did we make the right call? But that's a sign that, you know, your overall talent level is increasing. And a note for folks coming out tomorrow, Main Street Bridge is closed tomorrow.
Yep.
And I'm a fan of the Main Street Bridge coming from St. Augustine. Hayes. I don't know. For years, bro, I used to go the most convoluted way to get to the stadium because I'm a St. Augustine guy who knows point A and point B and one direct line. Yeah. And there may be 50 better ways to get there, but once I learn it, that's where I'm going.
I'm in the exact same boat.
I love that Blue Bridge. I love your Blue Bridge. All right, so take a rest day, just like Marquise Lee.
That's right.
Come back strong next week. By the way, Lauren tells me that right now you should probably avoid 295 South as there is a car on fire on the Dames Point Bridge, or the Bowtie Bridge,
how about
as you
that?
May refer to it. So
that's a little crazy.
That's I've seen a lot. This year has been a year. You live in St. Augustine?
I do.
Okay, so you probably travel that little 95 corridor quite a bit like I do. I've seen a lot of, there's the three horns, little bit early, Tony, 11:30. I've seen a lot of cars completely burned out on 95 this year for some freakish reason. I don't know why.
It is. It's been odd. They've got all the construction, but, you know, it'll be nice when it's done, I guess.
What are you going to do? We love the ancient city. We love it all, baby. Hayes Carline, read him in the pages of the Florida Times Union, and again on Twitter, simply at Hayes Carline. Enjoy the scrimmage tomorrow. Let's do this more frequently, all
right? Thank you so much, guys. Great, great to be on with you. Great show.
Appreciate you, buddy. There he goes, Hayes Carline checking in. Jag practice is wrapping up. How about that, Tony?
A little bit early, like we said. We kept waiting on the three horns.
Well, it was kind of a laid-back practice today, regardless. So, you know, I think they're going to schedule to take it easy. Let's just get everybody in. Let's get the blood flowing a little bit. Let's have, you know, try to have a day with no mental errors and go out there and get ready. I think the players will be excited tomorrow, even though it's still more of just a glorified practice. You're going to be in that stadium. You're going to have those scoreboards on.
Sure.
You're going to, you know, the north end zone deck is not going to be open tomorrow. So no cannon balls, as they're being called by a lot of people. But nevertheless, I think those guys will, you know, they feed off 2,000 people out here in the stands for a training camp practice. They could be three fields away, and they're still enjoying that energy level. So I think they'll really appreciate that tomorrow as well. All right. I tell you what, we'll take a break. We'll come back, even though practice is over. Jaguars today, soldiers on, because we're tougher, mostly, than NFL players.
Yeah, for the most part.
Radio, you got to be a little bit tougher to do 2 hours of radio on a daily basis. We never take a day off, except for Saturday and then again Sunday.
Yeah.
But other than that, we're pretty much 7 days a week, other than the two that we don't work. So coming back, we'll look at your Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. Give us your go-to drink and food item of choice at your tailgate, which I assume a lot of people are going to be doing tomorrow, tailgating. Be on the lookout for the lovely Lauren Brooks. I don't know if she'll wear the straw hat tomorrow, but I do know this. She'll probably park in Lot J tomorrow, which is nice for her. Actually, parking's free in all lots around the stadium tomorrow.
I was going to say, so, do I get to park there tomorrow? I don't think I do.
You can. You do.
Sweet.
You like everybody else. Tony can even park there tomorrow.
Yes, I can.
Which is nice for him.
And, the one time.
So we'll come back. Few last thoughts on Jaguar training camp practice wrapping up today, and on the scrimmage coming up ahead, we'll look at some of the fan feedback spotlight as well. It's called Nolan Cadillac Friday. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, training camp practice day eight. All right, day eight. They did have an off day.
Day eight, practice seven. Yeah.
Practice seven, day eight of training camp wrapped up for the Jags. Seems like we haven't had any further setbacks of the soft tissue variety today, Tony. I'm hoping that's the case. We haven't heard the post-practice comments. Gus Bradley's probably meeting with the assembled throng of media right now as we're wrapping up. We got a bunch of Jag fans right in front of us as they're seeking autographs, and the Jags are very accommodating in that. Training camp is a great atmosphere, and I know a lot of you have come out and taken advantage of it over the last week and probably over the last several years, but there is a lot of open access for fans with this organization, and I think it's permeated the idea. You know, Gus continually talks about making a connection with the following.
Yep.
And I think the players, whether they feel it's an obligation or it's something that they really enjoy doing, either way, the result's the same. They've taken it to heart, and I think it's become one of the most fan-friendly organizations in the National Football League. At least, look, we're not there at every training camp and at every OTA around the National Football League, but just from the reports you hear, we talked to Neil Reynolds yesterday from Sky Sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the organization said, okay, you're gonna make the trip over here. He made a trip to see every team that's going to London this year, the teams that'll be the home teams and the visitors, and two out of the six wouldn't even let him have 5 minutes with the head coach, and Gus sat down with him for nearly half an hour, and he's like,
yep.
I got all the time in the world.
Yeah, and Gus has they all have the right mindset about it, like we talked about yesterday. I mean, what is talking to this guy, does that affect fourth and one in week three?
Is it really going to hurt me?
Seriously, let's talk to him. Let's connect with the fans any way that we can. And you're seeing the results of that. I mean, even with Peter King coming to town earlier this week, he came out of here glowing a little bit about the organization. The team may still be a year or two away, but he loves the organization and the access that they're giving fans. The stadium experience is going to be a completely different thing this week or this year. And I think Daniel Jeremiah is here from the NFL Network.
I wish we had a chance to see our buddy move the sticks.
I know. He was working throughout the entire practice today, though. So, look, we'll see what he was saying about it. Obviously, we didn't get a chance to watch it. But there's a lot of positivity surrounding this team and the access that they're giving the fans and the media right now, and it makes sense for a team that was kind of down the drain.
Although, if you work for NFL Network, NFL.com, like Daniel Jeremiah does, who we think is one of the best draft analysts out there, this was not probably the practice you wanted to come and see, right? Because, you know, no Cecil Shorts, no Allen Robinson,
right?
No Ace Sanders. You know, it's you're not going to get the full idea, and it was a lower-key practice. Not full contact like we've been seeing. Now, tomorrow, we'll get some serious contact at the scrimmage. It'll be inside Everbank with those video screens on big display. So if you didn't make it out to the mega event last week, you get to see those in full effect tomorrow.
Yep.
It'll be pretty spectacular. By the way, how would you characterize the Associated Press's Mark Long's feelings about Peter King getting his own personal greeting on the video screens the other day?
It was extreme jealousy.
Rage and jealousy, a combination there.
We'll have to discuss that with him next
Where's
week.
My greeting?
That's
I
right.
believe he was heard to say. Today we asked you if you are tailgating, whether you are tomorrow or not. We know there's a ton of tailgating associated with major sporting events, including your Jacksonville Jaguars. So what's your go-to beverage and food item? Tony, you got a lot of photo tweets today, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
Making me hungry. Give us an idea of what some of the feedback was.
Here we got from Mike, we got Johnsonville Brats gumbo and Abita lager. Hash brown Jaguars today.
Is it Abita or is it Abita?
Abita.
I don't know.
It's Abita.
I don't know.
Lauren, trust me.
Abita? All right.
Yeah.
All right, I saw Lauren tweeting about how much she loves her some Abita.
It's from New Orleans.
So there you go.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah,
a bit of Amber's
well, he doesn't
too.
Want to think about New Orleans.
I don't mind New Orleans. He's having the gumbo and all that stuff anyway. Why don't
right,
I have the
right.
Some crawfish? Mm.
From Peter, we got two pre-smoked southern slabs of ribs being steamed with Budweiser, Fire Dog, coleslaw, the crab chips, and Captain and Coke. Hashtag Jaguars today. That's the whole menu there.
That sounds fantastic.
It does. From at call for a medic. He said, Bubba Burgers and Bud Light, hashtag ballin' on a budget from Eric.
That's awesome. I love the call for a medic.
Yeah.
That is, in itself is worth a t-shirt, I think.
From Eric, we got, where do I start? Steak, oysters, homemade jambalaya, menu changes, beer to drink, hashtag Jaguars today. From Christoph, beer. UK fans don't tailgate. We drink a lot.
he said he wanted to make it over for a tailgate,
yes,
though,
he
right?
he did. And finally here from Josh, we got, fun one today. Water for me. I'm not a drinker and need to stay hydrated. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag Howard the Duck. That one's for Mike.
I was told we need to attend. This one was sent to Lauren and I. Maybe they don't like you as much, Tony. And
sorry.
It's understandable.
Whoever that is, I'm sorry. You
the Teal Street Hooligans and the Bolt City Brigade tailgates, we need to stop by. It will change our lives, we were told.
I imagine that's a pretty rambunctious group.
You think?
I imagine it is festive over there on game.
You think it's flip cup or beer pong?
I was going to say, their favorite beverage is not milk.
I think they're combining the two games into one hybrid monster of a drinking game on game day.
That would be
interesting. International, is it Miss International? Is that what she is here today?
Yeah, it's like Mrs. International 2014.
Like they want you to trick you into thinking it's Miss Universe, but oh, it's Miss International. What is that? What is that pageant? Anyway, she's out here with her crown and her very high, what do you call those kind of things?
Stilettos?
Those are wedges.
Wedges? Are those what
those
are?
Are they espadrilles?
No, they're not espadrilles.
What was that one?
My college roommate used to wear espadrilles. He was a Dominican guy. He was very big in the Dominican culture back in the 80s. I don't know about it now. But she's been walking around, and I don't know what the connection is.
I have no idea.
Just promoting the Miss International beauty
pageant? I have no idea.
I think the pageant's here.
Of course. Oh, is it here? Is that why?
I think so. I saw some tweets from some of the Jags PR people that they were taking them around.
Who knew that we were the headquarters of pageantry now here on the First Coast? You see what the scoreboards have done now, Tony?
I see.
It's amazing.
It's a different world.
On Facebook, we got these Joel Swanson, good old beer and burgers. I'm a beer and burgers. Just give me a well-cooked hamburger on the
grill. And a kind of barbecue. That's fine.
Oh, my good. And he went with hashtag hash brown and hashtag Jaguars today. I got to say, the loyal listenership that we've built up now, we're into month four, right? It's August 1st. Happy August to you. Is crazy loyal. They pick up on all our ridiculous little hashtags that we encourage them to use.
I know.
That are just like little silly things, but they beat them into the ground like we request.
Yes.
And
yes.
That will pay off in fine shirts.
Well, we've had three or four people come to the table just today with the hashtag hash brown.
They weren't quite sure what to say. They said hash brown, hashtag Jaguars today, hash brown. Did I cover it? You got it, buddy. All right.
Yeah, I like the one that we just got from Old City West.
Which was?
We base it on the opponent. Saints equal gumbo. Cincy equals chili. Titans equals squirrel.
That's good. See, I like that, too.
And I think he ran out of room for hashtag Jaguars today. I'm sure he intended it, but there's so many other Twitter handles in there.
We need a lot of T-shirts. I have a feeling I'm going to be in a T-shirt giving mood this afternoon. So watch.
It's going to be a friend.
Social media. Freddie Jordan, anything, as long as my family, Bold City Brigade, and Johnny Gordon Jr. are with me. I don't know who Johnny Gordon Jr. is, but shout out to Johnny.
What up?
What up, Jr.?
JG Jr.
Yeah. Christopher J. Scarola. He's a big tweeter and Facebook poster of ours. Chicken sausage heroes with peppers, onions, jalapeno, pepper jack cheese, and fun juice. Any guess what's in the fun juice?
Is it like the riot punch on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I don't know. He started off slow. Ice. Okay. Vitamin water essential. All right. Pineapple juice. Get to the good stuff.
No.
A slice of orange. And
wait
then he went
for
with
it.
The gray goose.
Okay.
The goose.
Okay.
Wait for it. I hope that's not listed in order of volume. You know how they always list, like, sugar is the first thing on a package of cereal?
Yeah.
You know it's got the more sugar
the
than
most,
anything?
Yeah.
I would hope gray goose would be listed first on the official contents of the fun juice.
Does Crown ever make any good punches?
Crown makes a delicious Crown and ginger ale. All right?
That's not a pun.
Can't make a good Crown and ginger ale without Crown. All right?
True.
You cannot make a good Crown straight without the Crown. Okay?
Also true.
Crown Royal Black. I haven't done the maple. I'm not really a maple guy. Mm-hmm. I just like the original, man. You want to make me happy? Buy me a bottle of Crown Royal. So, I won't drive anywhere. I'll sit home like a lush. Or if you drive me to your tailgate, please have some Crown Royal.
That's right.
That's my choice. If you're going to ask me, Crown Royal and ginger, I'll drink that anywhere. I don't care if it's a tailgate.
Sure.
Backyard.
9 a.m.
Watching TV. 9 a.m. Just woke up. Gate.
Doesn't
about
matter.
To mow the lawn.
Whatever the case may be. About to mow the lawn. Gate. Just finished mowing the lawn. Gate. It's all good.
He walks around that lawn like a champ.
Everyone's
that purple sack on his side. Pushing that lawnmower.
Everyone thinks I'm constantly drunk now.
He's got the long straw. It reaches down.
Yeah. Who doesn't have a good custom mower? I mean, we're in the South, son. You got to have a good custom mower. That's going to do it for us today. Hey, we got to thank D-Rock for stopping by. Mike DiRocco from ESPN. He's out here every day busting his hump to cover the Jacksonville Jaguars. View. Likewise, Hayes Carline making his Jaguars Today debut today.
Yeah.
I think he was very nervous to be on the star-studded stage.
He seemed
us.
A little nervous. We had to calm him down.
He was great. Hayes
we had to
great.
Make him realize we're just regular Joe Schmoes.
Hayes is a good doobie, and, of course, he is the beat writer for your Jags for the Florida Times-Union. I forgot to ask him if Ryan O'Halloran is always so cynical.
I imagine the answer is yes.
Or is it just with us?
I can't imagine the answer would be anything but yes. Also, a thank you to Blaylock, obviously, for coming over and giving us the breaking injury news.
Breaking news.
And Allen for disgracing her with your presence in general.
An extended period of time. For disgracing whom? What?
No, for gracing y'all with her presence.
Oh, okay.
Blaylock
listening
rules.
Skills are lacking, sir.
My ear. It's all the Crown Royal. Let's be perfectly frank here. I can't hear a damn thing. We got to thank Claude Noah and Cadillac. They present the show every Friday, and we appreciate all of our great sponsors. If you like the programming, we don't charge you for it. Support the sponsors who make it possible, and certainly let them know you appreciate their support of 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Tomorrow, the debut of the new voice of the Jaguars, scrimmage style, anyway, the preseason game, the tune-up. Frank Frangie and crew, along with Jeff Loggeman, Tony DiCelli, Rick Ballew, will be broadcasting, holding court. The pregame, Tony, which is really where it's at, the pregame and postgame.
Yes.
That will debut
a week
next
today.
Week, a week from today, that's right, featuring in varying degrees J.P. Shadrick, myself, yourself, Lauren Brooks, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. But tomorrow, hope you can make it out to the scrimmage. Enjoy that. And if you can, bring your phone, your mobile device, listen to the app, and follow along with what the analysis is of what you're seeing on the field. And if you can't make it out, you can stay in touch via 1010XL, 92.5 FM, your flagship home for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're certainly excited to bring you as much programming this season as we possibly can, including tomorrow's scrimmage right here on the big network. Coming up next, we've got XL Prime Time with Hacker and T-Wig. Joe C. is on assignment. So for all the aforementioned, for Fat Tony, for Joe Fortunato, for the lovely and talented Lauren Brooks, who may, in fact, grace your presence with the straw hat tomorrow. I'm not sure. I can't neither confirm nor deny. I'm Mike Dempsey. This has been Jaguars Day. Thanks again to the General RV Broadcast Bus Bunch as well. Great support with our boys out here all week. We appreciate those guys, and we'll see them and see you out here next week. What's the schedule next week?
Monday through Wednesday, we're out here.
Monday through Wednesday, we're out here. I rely on Tony to get me through the day. I would walk into walls if he wasn't around. I might do that anyway. I'm going to blame it on the Crown. All right, that does it for us. So we'll say hello to the boys of XL Primetime next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.